Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times... 8, I don't... A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the Locked On Eagles podcast. I'm Teron Davenport, pleased to bring you another edition, a Tuesday morning edition. And what we're going to do today is just dive into the wide receivers. I think that's something that we need to talk about because this is a group that has been affected by the release of two veteran wide receivers, and now they're a relatively young group. So we're going to get into that, just look at who's left on the roster and who will be able to make the 53-man. So I think that this roster is very young. You look at Jordan Matthews and Josh Huff, those are the oldest receivers, so to speak, 25 and 24 years old. So those two have been with the Eagles for the longest. They both were drafted a couple years ago, as we know, Matthews in the second round, Huff in the third. And when you look at Jordan Matthews, he has now become the leader. And before Ruben Randle and Chris Givens were released, Randle was really the guy that a lot of them would look to. He was the veteran, the most proven receiver in the locker room, a guy who had two seasons close to 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns just the previous year. And it's interesting that the Eagles moved on from that production that he was able to put up. Obviously, it happened with the Giants, but now they have a group of guys that are relatively unproven outside of Jordan Matthews. But you saw what Josh Huff was able to do on Saturday against the Colts, and he really showed that when he gets the football in his hands, he can make things happen. I really liked the way he was able to catch that slant and take that another 30 or so yards. It was a 38-yard gain on third down. Those are the kind of plays that you could definitely expect from Josh Huff. He has to be able to catch the football with confidence. I asked Sam Bradford about that yesterday, and he said that he's really been impressed with the confidence, the way that has come along for Josh Huff. And that's really important. Catching the football is all about confidence. We all could catch it. Everybody could catch a football, but it's just when you have confidence and you know that you could catch it, that makes it so much better for you. And I know it sounds like it's very simple, but you really do have to, just like with anything, you don't go into any type of situation and say, I can't do this. You have to go into it and say, I am going to do this. So, for instance, when you go to the line of scrimmage, you say, that ball's coming to me, I'm going to catch it. You don't say, that ball's coming to me, I can't drop it. Little things like that go into the mental aspect of football. But I want to bring you an interview that I had with Josh Huff. It was just a quick walk and talk. I grabbed him before he was going to meetings yesterday, but I wanted to just give him a chance to talk about what he did on Saturday. So check this out.
I just wanted to get your take on how you were able to put things together in that game on Saturday.
Oh, it just all played out for me, the way I wanted it to. Obviously, the coaches put me in a correct position to make plays and be effective in the game. And my teammates did an excellent job with blocking downfield and getting the play started for me to showcase my skills.
Coach Peterson had mentioned it earlier in the week that you were going to be a major part of the game plan. Mm-hmm. Going in, like, did that change your mindset? And how did you balance not being too aggressive and too hot?
With him telling me that, it allowed me to focus on what I need to focus on. And that was basically the details of everything. I know the playbook inside and out now, and it's just all about details now, and being detailed with everything I do. And I was just able to just hone in on everything leading up to the game, and I was able to go out there and play fast and have fun.
So that was Josh Huff just touching on what he was able to do, and I think it's really important that we look at just the way that the Eagles used him, and that's something that is going to be really a key to Josh Huff's season, because if you look, Doug Peterson seems to know how to get his guys to football. That's what I really like about him. He'll give them a chance to make a play, and he'll get them the ball in situations that are favorable for them, and that's what you want from a coach. So just looking at some of the other guys, obviously Dorial Green Beckham, you talk about getting the guys in a favorable situation, man. I tell you what, the way that they are going to use Green Beckham, I mean, this guy is going to be a force in the red zone. And you can rest assured he's going to get his share of touchdowns. So when they're able to throw that jump ball pass to him, that fade in the end zone, they're going to work that. But then even once you work that and have that start to be successful, then you could play off of that. So he could give that move outside and come back inside for the slant as well. So there's a few things that they could do with Dorial Green Beckham. I do like the way they're going to use him across the middle as well. He has a big body, and he could take advantage of that. So that's a really good thing on his part. So Green Beckham is definitely a factor. We know he'll be on the roster. But then when you look at some of the other guys, let's talk a little bit about a guy like a Paul Turner. You know, Paul Turner is someone that can really make things happen from that slot position. It's really good seeing him go in there and play the way that he's played, because I tell you what, when it comes to a guy that could make something happen and get open quickly and get where the quarterback needs him to get, he's one of them, and he's a really good slot position. I like the way that they have the slot set up, because you could go to power slot with Jordan Matthews or Dorial Green Beckham. You could also go, you know, your short, not short, but your quick, shifty guy in Paul Turner. So they have some options there. So those are something to look at. Now, another one that we should talk about is Nelson Agholor. And here's the thing, folks. I know it's disappointing seeing him drop the football the way he has the last couple games. He made one catch that was really nice across the middle in the Steelers game. He came back. The ball was a bit behind him, and he dropped it. He did get both hands on it, so there's no excuse not to catch it as an NFL receiver. So I'm not excusing what happened. And then, obviously, on Saturday, the crossing pattern didn't bring the ball in. It was a little behind it, but still, I mean, you get your hands on it. You got to pull that in. You got to make a play for your quarterback, and he knows that. So I talked to Agholor in the locker room, and I just want you to kind of listen to some of the things that he said. And one of the things I do like is that he's still finding a way to pull a positive out of the situation. And sometimes, you know, you're going to have a day that's not your day, and that's when you try to contribute in a different way. And that's what he tried to do in the blocking side of things. So here's Nelson Agholor.
Text him to make that play, you know, so I heard him a little bit.
But the first team offense, obviously, this was what you guys wanted to do.
Oh, man, we looked really good. If you think about the way we got Josh Huff in space, and, you know, Chris Givens with the big third down conversion, you know, we throw Dorial in there with certain packages, and what he did to help us first with the slant to get us the first down and the red zone fade, that's what it's about. You know, that is exactly what we need to continue to do. And then I need to make my play, which I had that opportunity on that deep cross. But other than that, when my number was called in other aspects of the game, I felt like I did my job. And that's what we want to do.
That's what I wanted to ask you. I mean, you had the one play, but other than that, I mean, how did you find your personal victories within that game?
Oh, man, it's about doing your job. You know, you talk about when we ran the sweep, I mean, the little handoff to Huff in the red zone. You know, one guy left there to make that play, and I had to make sure my guy didn't make that play. And other than that, you know, I have responsibilities in the run game. We had a big third down run, I think, we called an outside run for Ryan Matthews, and he bounced out. 32 was in the box. I had to steal him, and deals like that are just important to me as, you know, being the guy with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, blocking, being a complete receiver.
And being on the football field.
The one time they sent you in motion, they brought you back. You had to take on the defensive end. Yeah. What's the mindset with that?
And be selfless.
Yeah.
And I thought I got him. I think that was Trent Cole, old Eagle.
Yeah, it was.
So I tried to get inside leverage, and he's a heck of a football player, a Pro Bowler, I believe. And I tried to get inside of him, and then he did what great players do. They counter. I hit him, and he spun out, and still. But that's what it's about, and that's what it's always going to be about for me and hopefully for the rest of my teammates.
So that was Nelson Agholor just talking about ways that he could contribute when he doesn't have the football in his hands. And, folks, listen, I know, like I said, I know you want to see more from him. I want to see more from him, too. And at the same time, you have to understand, you know, I'm not saying, again, that there's any excuse for the drop footballs, but I am going to say give this guy time. And with time, he's going to become a solid receiver. And really looking at some of the comments that Jordan Matthews made, he's really high on Aguilar himself, and he always repeats, you know, listen, Mike Wallace was there in Pittsburgh. That didn't allow Antonio Brown to shine as much, or not that they didn't allow it, but it took the shine away from Antonio Brown, and when given the opportunity, he made things happen. But it didn't happen immediately. Jordy Nelson, he had Greg Jennings on the opposite side. And Donald Driver was just leaving. And he had to work his way into the offense and become the outstanding receiver that he is. It takes time. Not everybody, and I told Aguilar this the other day, man. Not everybody can be Amari Cooper and Odell Beckham Jr. right off the bat. Some guys grow into that, and that's really what's going to happen with Aguilar. You just give the man a chance. I'm very high on his potential, and I believe he could be an outstanding receiver. He has the tools, so I just watch this season. I think this is going to be a good season for him. But looking at some of the other guys on the roster, Caleb Jones and Marcus Johnson, these are two very nice-sized receivers. I really want to see if they're going to be able to make a push for the sixth receiver spot. It looks like they're going to keep five, but both of them are very nice side. Marcus Johnson, especially, he's a very athletic guy. Hasn't had any catches, but I think that he's going to have a good opportunity to make some plays in the fourth and final preseason game. So we'll definitely be on the lookout for him against the Jets, that's for sure. Caleb Jones had a nice 22-yard reception on the sideline. Like I said, a big body, and he's made some plays in practice. But the last guy that we're going to touch on is David Watford. And David Watford is a converted quarterback. He was at University of Virginia, and then he transferred to Hampton. But before he transferred, guess what? He had the most completions. He set the record for most completions in the game at University of Virginia. He's got some ability, but he was a dual-threat guy at Hampton. He's here with the Eagles, and he's really progressing. And it's really interesting just watching him learn the position. I told him, he reminds me of Tony Martin, a guy who had 1,000 yards with the Falcons, and he also played for the Chargers, another converted quarterback. But he's running his routes well. He's learning how to get into his routes, how to stem them, and how to work against the DBs. He's an interesting prospect. I don't know for sure that he makes the roster, but I tell you what, he's probably going to be one of the first guys that they put on the practice squad because he could do a lot. When they have to go against that read option type of team, they could use him as the quarterback. Guess who they face first week? RG3 and the Cleveland Browns. So he could be a guy that could give them a nice look on the scout team. But then, as I said, a really good receiver also. So it's going to be really interesting seeing how that works out for him. But I think as of right now, the roster is going to be five receivers, and we're looking at Jordan Matthews, Josh Huff, Aguilar, Paul Turner, and Doyle Green Beckham. We'll have to see how the waiver wire goes and if there's a guy that they would value more than Marcus Johnson, Caleb Jones, or David Watford. I think if you had to pick one of those three, I think Caleb Jones would probably have the best chance of making it out of the three, but it's going to be interesting. That's all I can say. The receiver position, you know, got a pretty big wake-up call with Reuben Randle and Chris Givens being released. I'm really surprised by the Chris Givens release. Randle, that's one that I had mentioned on Breakfast on Broad and some of the other shows that I've been on. I said that once Beckham came in, I thought that Randle would be the guy to get released. So it ended up happening. Hey, hopefully the two of them could catch on somewhere else. That's why they were released at this point. That's what Doug Peterson said. He wanted to give them a chance to catch on. So we'll see what happens to them. I wish those guys the best. Both of them were really good in the locker room. Anytime you needed to talk to them, they would definitely be available for you and give you a good quote. So, hey, now it's a youth movement. You know, 25 and under on the Eagles receiving corps. That's the show, folks. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. I appreciate you tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to the Locked On Eagles podcast. Check out the Locked On Sports Network. You have all types of podcasts, anywhere from the Utah Jazz to New York Knicks to the Houston Texans to the Washington Redskins. We have fantasy for you as well. Be sure to tune into the Locked On Sports Network. Check my workout at theeagleswire.usatoday.com. Follow me on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL. We are out of here. As always, any requests, definitely shoot them to me on Twitter, and I'll get them for you. Thanks for tuning in, folks.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.